With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Sunday, March 17th, and we are here trying to help you make better financial decisions. And we do that by encouraging you to give us a holler. Maybe instead of going to the St. Patrick's Day parade in your town, you'll just whip off a note to us. Just go to jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, let us know if you'd like to join us on the air. We are airing yet another segment with Ed Slott because you guys love him so much. Today we're talking about qualified charitable distributions, pre-tax versus brokerage, and one of my favorite topics, donor-advised funds. Here is our interview with Ed Slott. Let's say that people who are we get this kind of person comes on the program all the time. I'm 55 years old. I'm going to retire in 5 years. I got a boatload of money that's in my pre-tax retirement account, but I don't have enough money to really pay for the conversion. Like, I don't have enough liquidity to really convert. How do you feel about just we tell them also take the money out. Just keep taking the money. You're 60 years old. Take it out.
In effect, what I call dollar cost averaging into the Roth. I'm not saying convert everything, but do a series of smaller conversions over time. The key to all tax planning is to get rid of this growing, building, compounding debt. This IRA, little at a time, a series of smaller annual conversions. So over time, you're getting rid of this debt. It's like a mortgage. And growing tax-free. Now the compounding's working for you in a Roth, where it's working against you in this IRA debt.
But I think what's the difference between doing a Roth conversion versus if you don't have the money to pay for the conversion, just pulling the money out and living on it and paying the low tax rate now, just taking it out of your retirement account.
Like not converting it because you don't have enough liquidity. You really don't.
But
like
you're also,
we hear from people like
but
that.
But you're also not currently subject to RMDs.
Right. So taking the money out and doing what?
Just
with
pay,
it?
Like living.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you're missing an opportunity. But not everybody has
that's
the
what we're trying. Right. So what we're trying to think about is when we've heard from this a lot of people, what we've been hearing is like, I did such a good job of saving for retirement. Now my kids are done, but I don't have any money like in a brokerage account.
I don't have enough
like liquidity. So what I
would still convert if you have the money because once it's in a Roth, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, but they don't have the money.
Right, so
let's say that from age, what we're hoping is that from 60 to 70, like they delay taking, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you start pulling money out, you live on that money, you delay taking your Social Security till age 70, so you max it out.
You're still knocking down the debt.
Exactly.
At low rates.
Right.
See, the secret, it's so simple to saving a fortune in taxes, and it's another one of my always rules, always true. If you always want to pay the lowest taxes, it's so simple, even CPAs don't get it. Always pay taxes at the lowest rates.
And it's so simple. So
what you're doing really is with the rates, it's like a stock. You're buying the tax rate like buy low and sell high. I didn't make that one up, but write that down.
Okay, let me get that. I got it. It's good.
It's like Henny Youngman once said, I'm putting all my money in taxes. The only thing sure to go up. He was right. I'm saying the same thing. You're betting on the tax rates.
Let's talk about one other part of the tax code that I think could be at risk, because I think it's the greatest thing ever, the QCD.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it's at risk, because the charities have great
lobbyists.
Yeah, lobbyists. So not only that, it went up for this year. That's another thing. They added an inflation rider in Secure 2.0.
Okay, so the qualified charitable distribution, which is something that can be helpful to minimize your required minimum distributions. The rule is, I don't know what the whole 70 and a half thing, I want to blow my head off, but okay.
Yeah, they just never coordinated. So
exactly.
And so you have more years to do it. That's okay.
Okay. So at age 70 and a half, I've got an IRA account. It's pre-tax. Explain how the QCD works.
All right. So we were talking about Roths. So let's go back to the Roth. If you're going to do QCDs, don't keep some IRA money. Mm-hmm. See, that would be a reason not to convert everything, because if you're charitably inclined, I always use the word charitably inclined because people, some people disagree with me, accountants and other tax experts. They have a gift to charity for tax reasons. I never say that because people always regret that, because once they find out they actually have to give the money away, I thought I'd just get a break. Yeah, because you're giving the money away.
Yeah.
So I clarify, charitable tax plan only works if you were giving the money anyway, if
right.
you're charitably inclined. If you're charitably inclined and give every year, you're no longer, for 90% of the people, getting a tax break, because there's no longer itemized deductions for most people that take the standard deduction. This break allows you to get a better break than when you got itemized deductions, because itemized deductions were after you calculated your adjusted gross income, that key figure on the tax return. This actually, the QCD, qualified charitable distribution, lowers that. It comes off the top. So it's a direct transfer from your IRA to a qualified charity. And you can do that this year in 24 up to $105,000 a year.
It's amazing.
Per person. It was $100,000. Now it's $105,000. So it should be enough for most people. And what you want to do, if you give to charity, that's why I say, if you give to charity, you'll always win on this, because all you're doing is, again, taking down, following my example, my rule, always pay taxes at the lowest rate, or another way to say, get that money out of the IRA at the lowest rates. You're getting it out at 0% tax rates, making a gift you would have made anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to knock it down and use the QCD. It's only available, the only downside, it's only available to IRA owners who are 70 and a half years old, or IRA beneficiaries who are also 70 and a half years old or older, not from plans. People get confused on that. They say, why can't I do it from a plan? Because it's not allowed.
Why is that, by the way? Because it's just
the way
paperwork.
They wrote. Yeah, the plans probably didn't want to bother
yeah.
administering it.
So whatever, you can literally roll over half of your 401k and start
right.
doing it from
so
an IRA account.
So that would be
account.
A reason to roll to an IRA and do the QCDs from there. And we found that people started doing them. It's like on automatic. They're getting all their charity. They're lowering it. And it can satisfy your RMD. So in a very simple example, let's say your RMD each year is $5,000. And you normally give, just to make the example simple, $5,000. You do the QCD for $5,000 to your favorite charity. You don't even have to take the RMD.
We did
no,
this with.
But if you give $105, but your RMD is $165, you still have to satisfy the rest
yes.
of the RMD.
Yes, yeah.
So but, that's what you'll have to do.
But I have to say, we did this with we had to do this with my mom, and it worked out great.
Yeah.
So my 80-something-year-old mother. And what was so interesting about it is it actually really helped, because I said to her, I want you to identify, stop doing nickel and diming. No $50 here, no $100 there. Tell me the five most important charities. Let's do it. We do it once a year. It is now like it is
it's
so
great.
Much better. And she feels better because
yeah.
she knows it's happening. And all she does is she signs the forms, it gets it done, and satisfies her RMD. Now, again, we're talking about people who don't need their RMD
right.
to live on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we get that. And we're talking about people who are already charitably inclined,
right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. So Roth is the best. QCD is great. What is at risk in our tax code right now? What do you think could be taken away?
Well, I don't think people talk about the capital gains rate. That'll never happen. I don't know. There's too much against it. I saw online, I don't know if it was an old clip, but Warren Buffett saying, you know, if your money earns money, you pay at a low rate. But if you toil, the way he said it, a slog at a job, you pay, you know, a much higher rate. And that's not right.
Right.
I don't think that people ask, is that at risk? The only thing that's at risk, I think at some point they're going to have to raise taxes. I don't know on who. I'll tell you, switching gears, something that's at risk may be people who do gift and estate planning.
Mm.
Because if you look at this chart, I mean, this estate exemption now is $13,600,000 per person, over $27 million a couple.
I want to be able to have an estate tax problem.
Yeah.
I really do.
But it gets cut. cut in half in 2 years.
Right. So let's talk about the sunsetting. That's a real risk. So we had a tax cut in 2017. Yeah. End of 2017, went into effect in 18. Now, there are provisions of those tax cuts that are, they quote unquote sunset. I mean, if the Congress does not agree, certain aspects of that on the individual side, not the corporate rates, I noticed.
Yeah, I know.
The individual tax rates go back to where they were.
Right. But other things come back. I think it would be a huge mess. People are used to the ease of the standard deduction and not doing all these itemized.
Yeah, but you have to have consensus in Congress, and that seems like they can't agree what time it is.
Somehow I believe they're not going to make that happen. It's just so, Mark said earlier, politically, it's a non-starter to effectively raise taxes. And that's what they're going to call it politically, even though they lowered it and now they're taking away the benefit.
But I remember during the Obama administration, something sunset from the Bush tax cuts and it stayed.
Yeah, anything's possible. I don't think they're going to, I don't know, but at some point, I think some taxes have to go up. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest risk, again, comes back to your growing IRA and 401k. And I would even say, stop contributing to those things. Do Roth, especially young people. That's a no-brainer. Anybody starting out, imagine if we had the ability to start out funding just Roth from dollar one. You know, the greatest money-making asset anybody can possess is time. And young people have more of it than anyone else, but they don't capitalize on it. Imagine starting your first job only Roth 401k. Now you can have matching and catch-up contributions, everything, and do your Roth IRA and never take a deduction. Deduction is a trap. You know what a deduction is for an IRA or a 401k? It's really just a loan you're taking from the government to be paid back at some future interest rate that you don't know. Imagine if you went in for a home mortgage and you're all prepared, you have all your data and your facts, and you know, you went to all the banks and you're ready to negotiate. And you say, what's the interest rate? And the banker said, don't worry about it. No, but I did all my homework. What's the interest? Don't worry about
it. It'll be fine.
Well, what are you talking about? When we need the money, we'll tell you what the interest rate is.
Right.
That's an IRA.
All right. Here are your two choices, Ed. Pre-tax, whether it's a pre-tax 401k or a tax-deductible traditional IRA, or contributing to a brokerage account.
Right. Ooh. Pretend there's no Roth option.
Oh, okay. Roth wins hands down on everything.
Yeah, of course.
Take that off the table.
Take it off the table.
I think you might.
It's got to be a brokerage account. Why would you want to do ordinary income tax versus capital gains rate?
Right. Because I'm thinking you get some benefit up front, but again, you give it back. It's just a loan. You give it all back at the worst possible time in retirement when you – that's the last thing you want to lose anything. And you're already retired. Maybe you got laid off, so you're in this loss mode. And I don't understand that. I just saw on a different topic there – 260,000, if you saw that article in the Wall Street Journal, tech jobs layoffs in 2023.
Yeah.
UPS laid off people. Citibank laid off 10% of its workforce.
Right.
And things are booming. I don't understand.
Well, they got rid of some things. They added other
Maybe
things.
It was efficiencies.
They went, and remember, they go a little bit overboard.
Right. So that means, you know, a lot of this money, the last thing you want if you are forcibly, you lost your job, is to be worried about future taxes now. So you're right. The brokerage account, because you can build capital gains. And remember, the investment aspect is the same. You can gain or lose money on the same stock in an IRA or outside. And the outside money is also better for different types of investments. Like people like to invest in real estate. Again, Roth IRA is best for everything because everything grows income tax free. But real estate, I always tell people ask, oh, can I do real estate in my IRA? Yeah. But now you're turning something that would have been capital gain and step up in basis into ordinary income.
Yeah. Well, so that's the same thing when people are like, I put my house in a trust. I'm like, great. You're in the highest trust. You know, you're in the highest bracket.
Trust brackets. And another thing on the Roth, the big benefit for the beneficiaries, remember, there's no more stretch IRA where the beneficiaries used to go out 20, 30, 50 years. You know, I used to talk about that all the time, but I never really saw it happen. Mm. I never saw a 30 or 50-year-old beneficiary say, well, I'm going to only take 3% this year. I found as soon as the parents died, it was like a smash and grab. I mean, you know, so When I heard the 10-year rule, I said, oh, not so bad. And people started saying, oh, maybe I will stretch it for 10 years.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
But with the Roth, there's a special benefit for the beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. The rules in the Secure Act and the IRS regulation got all mucked up where some people are subject beneficiaries in the 10 years having to take RMDs. If you inherit a Roth, you will never have RMDs during that 10-year period. So like I said, the Roth money grows during your lifetime, income tax-free for the rest of your life. You never have to take it out. And 10 years for the beneficiaries, they never have to take it out until the last day of the 10th year after death, and all that accumulation compounding in their favor, income tax-free. And some of these beneficiaries, if they inherit an IRA, they may be in their own highest earnings
years. Yes, exactly.
And the problem with the IRA that the Secure Act created with the 10-year rule, you may talk about, even if rates are the same, let's say I'm wrong about the Roth and mm-hmm. rates went down even. First of all, let's just take the pros and cons. What if I'm wrong about everything? And I always say that in my programs.
Yeah.
What if I'm wrong?
Right.
All right, what's the worst case scenario? Because you want to know the worst case scenario. And I tell people, here's the worst case scenario. Let's say I'm wrong. You locked in a 0% tax rate for the rest of your life and 10 years beyond. That's not a bad consolation prize. You can't beat a 0% tax rate.
Or if you go back and you say, let's look at the last 20 years, maybe you're wrong by 2%. That's a top bracket.
Right.
That's about
it. The problem is, even if I'm wrong and the rates stay the same, because of the 10-year rule for beneficiaries, all that income will be pushed into a shorter window. And even if the rates are the same, the tax costs will be higher.
I have one last question. I feel like there is a huge benefit to a donor advised fund.
Oh, yeah. It makes it easier. I've heard from people. I was talking to actually a tax reporter, and she said, I do it every year. It's so easy.
It's so easy, and it's such a gift, and it is unbelievable.
If you're charitably inclined.
If you're charitably inclined.
I have to say that because people say, well, what's the tax
benefit?
Because
there's like Scrooge McDuffs out there. I'm not giving any money away. But what I find interesting is with all the conversations around this is geared towards wealthy people. This is like no one talks about that. I think it's an amazing gift to rich people. I really
do.
It
is an amazing gift, but regular people, modest income people can still put $7,000 a year if they have it or up to in a Roth and it grows tax free. Imagine if we had an account like that.
Yeah, but like the donor advised fund is different because there's no limit to what you can put in, right? And you can take something with a very low cost basis. Like, I inherited this stock. I got to step up 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And the account has grown from 100,000 to 3 million. I can now gift that low basis stock into my DAF, get a charitable deduction.
Again, it only works if a charitable deduction is large enough to push you into itemizing.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's why I say I think it's like a gift to rich people. I mean, I'm happy to take advantage of it as long as it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Yeah. So I say like the Roth, the health savings account, and donor advised funds, the QCDs, these are legitimate, amazing ways to use the tax code to your benefit.
Yes, make the whole point I'm making is have your money compound for you rather than against you. And I believe in an IRA, a 401k, it's compounding against you every day.
If you have a question about anything we discussed today or the various episodes that you've heard with Ed over the last couple of weeks, because it is tax time, please get in touch with us, jillonmoney.com. Click the Contact Us button. Please let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air. When you're on the website, sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Comes out every single Friday. And check out my book, which is now out in paperback. It's called The Great Money Reset. Try to lift someone up. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.